The people of Yericha said to Elisha, the land is good, like you can see, but the water is bad and causes disease and death. If this was true, how can they say the land was even good? Yochanan said, a place always appears good to its inhabitants. Rabbi Yochanan said, there are three things that always seem pleasing to people. A place always seems good to its inhabitants, a wife always seems good to her husband, and a purchased item always seems good to the purchaser. Bryce says, Elisha became sick three times. Once as a punishment for causing the death of the children with the beers, once for totally pushing away Gehazi for having accepted gifts from Naaman, and once when he died. Bryce says, the person should always push away with his left hand and pull close with his right hand. Not like Elisha who totally pushed away Gehazi, or like Yeshua ben Prachi, who totally pushed away one of his Tamidim, each of who ultimately did even worse averus after being pushed away. Gehazi accepted gifts from Naaman after being told by Elisha not to do so. When Elisha found out, he cursed him that the tzaras of Naaman should cling to Gehazi and all his future generations. We find that this happened as Rabbi Yochanan explains the pasuk that speaks of the former tzaraim as referring to Gehazi and his three sons. The pasuk says that Elisha went to Damesek. Rabbi Yochanan explains that he went there to try and get Gehazi to do tshuva. Gehazi refused and said, I have a kabbalah from you that one who sins and causes others to sin is not given an opportunity to do tshuva. What had Gehazi done? Some say he took the golden calf used as an avodah zarah by Yeravam and had it suspended mid-air by using strong magnets, and this caused people to believe that it was a god. Others say he put a name of Hashem into the mouth of the calf and it began saying the Anoichi and La Yilcha. Others say that he would prevent the rabbanim from coming and learning from Elisha. The story with Yeshua ben Prachi was as follows. When he was returning to Eretz Yisrael after having fled to Egypt, he stayed at an inn and complimented the hostess's good deeds. A Talmud thought he was complimenting her physical attributes and made a comment that she was not that pretty. Yeshua ben Prachi called him a rasha for busying himself with such matters and put him into the cheirim. The Talmud kept coming and asking for mechila, but was not accepted. One day he came while Yeshua ben Prachi was saying Shema. That day, Yeshua ben Prachi planned on accepting him back, but he could not speak. He was in the middle of saying Shema. So for motion, he motioned for him to wait. The Talmud took that motion as a sign that he was telling him to go away, and therefore he gave up and went and worshipped the Avodah Zarah. When Yeshua ben Prachi asked him to do tshuva, he said, I have a Kabbalah from you that someone who sins and causes others to sin is not given an opportunity to do tshuva. We have learned that this Talmud did kishuv, convinced others to do Avodah Zarah, and caused Klal Yisrael to do averus. A Braisa says, or Shmuel Lozer says, when dealing with the desire for relations, for znus, when dealing with children, and when dealing with women, one should push away with the left hand and draw close with the right hand. Zuck, the next mission, if the murderer is found before the calf is decapitated, the calf is returned to the flock and allowed to be used for any purpose. If the murderer is found after the calf was decapitated, the calf is buried there like any other regular ruvim because it was brought when there was a suffix, and it was brought up and it brought about the kapara during the time of the suffix. Also, although the egla rufa was done, if the murderer is then found, he still faces capital punishment. If one witness says he saw the murderer and another says you did not see the murderer, or if one woman says that she saw the murderer and another woman says no, you did not, the egla rufa process is done. If one witness says he saw the murderer and two witnesses tell him you did not, they would do the egla rufa process. If two witnesses said they saw the murderer and one witness says no, you did not, their process is not done. When murder becomes a more commonplace occurrence, when it did become a more commonplace occurrence, they stopped doing the egla rufa process. This was in the period in the time of the famous murderer Eliezer ben Danai, who was also known as Techina ben Perisha, also known as the murderous son. When adultery became more commonplace, they stopped doing the soita process. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakeh dashed in a pasuk and was the one who put an end to the soita process. When Yosi ben Yehuda ish Tzveda and Yosi ben Yehuda ish Yerushalayim died, that was the end of the Eshkoilos. We'll explain what that means in the Gemara. Yoichanan Kohen Gadol put an end to the Vidois process that it said when bringing Meiser. He also put an end to the wakers and the strikers, because until this time the hammer would bang in Yerushalayim, but he put an end to it. Also in his days, he instituted that it's no longer a need to ask whether there was Meiser given from Demai, because he said that Meiser must be taken from all Demai. Gemara brings a price, which is, how do we know that if the murderer is found after the egla rufa process, that he's still subject to capital punishment? The pasuk says that the land will only have a kapara for murder when the blood of the murderer is spilled as well. The Mishnah suggests that the single witness is not believed only because there's a contradicting witness. This suggests that if there was no contradicting witness, the single witness would be believed and the egla rufa process would not be done. And Bryce gives the reason for this. It's based on the pasuk that says, which suggests that if anyone in the world knows who the murderer is, we would not do the egla rufa process. Rabbi Akiva says, even if the Sanhedrin saw a murderer killing someone, but they could not see who he was, they would not do the egla rufa process. This is based on the pasuk that says, in this case, their eyes did see the murder. In fact, we see that the Torah believed a single witness in this case. If so, how is a single witness believed to contradict the first witness? Ula said, whenever the Torah believes a single witness, he's believed like two, and therefore a single witness could not be believed against him. Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak both say that the Mishnah should actually be read as saying the Egla Rufa is actually not brought in that case. Rabbi Chiya said that the Mishnah should be read as saying the Egla Rufa is brought. Although this seems problematic with Ula's statement, it's not, because the Mishnah is discussing where the two witnesses came at the same time. And since the first witness was never established as being believed yet, a single witness could contradict him. The next part of the Mishnah says that when two witnesses contradict a single witness, we do bring the Egel HaRufa. This suggests that if it was only one against one, we would not bring it. Mara said the next part of the Mishnah says that if two witnesses saw that they saw the murder and one says, no, you did not, we do not bring the Egel HaRufa. This suggests that if it were only one against one, we would bring it. This contradicts the last part of the Mishnah. Therefore, we must say that the Mishnah here is discussing people who are normally possible to say testimony. In which case, Rabbi Nechemya says, we follow the majority view. We look at how many people are on each side, even if it's two women against one man. Another version of Nechemya is, that when we're dealing with witnesses who are otherwise possible, we follow the majority only when it's two women against one woman. However, if it was two women against one man, it would be considered as if they are equal weight on both sides. According to this version, our mission is discussing where at first one woman came and said testimony, and then another two women came and contradicted her testimony. According to this, both cases of this part of the Mishnah are teaching regarding witnesses who are otherwise puzzled. The reason why we need two cases is that one teaches that we follow the majority view if it will lead to a chumrah, and the other teaches that we follow this view even if it will lead to a kula. Bryce says when murderers became more commonplace, especially public murders, the Egel HaRufa process was stopped entirely because it's brought for a case of Safik, and at that time the murderers were very known and therefore was no longer considered to be a Safik. Misha Rabu Hanayofim, the Misha said, Bryce Dashim took him to teach that the site the waters only check the woman if the husband is clean from the Averus Nus himself. Moreover, the waters do not check even if the children are not clean from his Nus. Moreover, the waters do not work even if the Nus done is with an unmarried woman. Abraisa says, when pleasure seekers increased, justice became perverted, and Hashem is not happy with the world. When the number of judges who showed favoritism increased, there was no longer any heed paid to the law of Loi Saguru, do not fear litigants, and to the law of you shall not show favoritism. And people removed the yoke of heaven and put on the yoke of people. When the number of people who whispered to the judges during the court case increased, Hashem's anger increased in Klal Yisrael, and the Shekhinah left from among us. When the people whose heart lust gain increased, this also increased the number of people who say that good is bad and that bad is good. When those people increased, it increased sorrows in the world. When the number of people who spit in the street increase, the number of arrogant people increase, and the number of Talmidim decrease, and the Torah goes to look for those who will learn it. When the number of arrogant people increase, the Jewish girls began to marry only the arrogant people, since the generation is only concerned with outward appearances. We learned that arrogant people don't find favor by anyone, even their own families. Mara says initially the girls marry them, but later they despise them. The Bryce continues, when judges became more involved in business, bribery and corruption increased, and general good decreased, Hashem brought punishment. When the number of judges who would trade favors with the litigants increased, there was an increase in the number of people who did whatever they saw fit in their own eyes, which caused lowly people to be treated highly and vice versa, and the Jewish kingdom continued to wither away. When cheap people and thieves increased, there decreased the givers of tzedakah and lenders of money, and people were therefore over the law against doing so. When there was an increase in the number of women who acted immodestly, there increased the use of Saita waters, but the use of the waters then stopped in total, like we learned in the Mishnah. When the number of people who accept gifts increased, the length of the life decreased. When the number of Talmidim who would not listen to the Rebbe, but would rather paskin on their own, when they increased, there increased the amount of machloikis, and the Torah became like two Torahs because of the machloikis. When there was an increase in the number of people who took charity from Goyim, the Goyim started being high and the Yidden low, and the Goyim were in front and the Yidden were in back. Mishnah semi shemes yoisi ben yezer v'chulu. What are meant by eshkoilois? Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, said it means ish shakoil boy, a man who has it all Torah knowledge.